We have on the line with us Richard Armstrong and Paul Davis, the two farmers in the country. We'll go with them until 12:30, and we thank them for coming and sharing their perspectives with us as farmers and as citizens of this country as well. Somebody just dropped off a note here. They said that they lost the phone. The phone got stolen. They live in George Street. And they have had to go to the head office of the Sir Winston Scott Polyclinic to complain about the fact that they are living in deplorable conditions. They say that rats have basically taken over the house in which they've been living. They've rented this particular unit. They say there are rat droppings in the kitchen and all over the house. And they need to have a look at the toilets and the bathrooms. They assert that the landlord, nor the inspector, is doing anything about it. They say they even got chinks in the beds and roaches all over the place, so they claim. And they haven't seen the landlord for 2 to 3 months. They go on to say that some of us have chronic illnesses such as HIV and mental illness. So please help us to come and see us soon, says this person. They sign off here by saying that they're an upset tenant. But they're making the point that they're not seeing an inspector in their neighborhood either. And that's a concern for them. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello. Welcome to today's program.
Hello, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, hi.
Good afternoon to you as well as Mr. Davis and Mr. Armstrong. They're still with you?
Yes.
Yeah. Good afternoon.
Yes, I want to make 3 points here, but let me deal with the first, the lessons that we can learn from this COVID-19. But, you know, we have a situation where as when something is affecting us, we look at all the ways and means that we can, things that we should do. But when it is over, then we forget all about it. And I made that statement in the background of our agriculture. I hope that one thing that we should learn from it is that we as a people should be able to feed ourselves. And we know that the agriculture sector has been crying out for a long time. I start to wonder how life would be if it so happens that we had closed off our borders early. Would you think that we would be still able to provide the country with the necessary food supply, seeing that we would have still had the supermarkets going, the hotels would be still functioning, as well as the fast food? You think that we would have been in a position to still say that we are able to provide the food necessary? That's a question to the two agricultural persons first.
Yeah. Can we do it? I mean, we talked about it a lot. The government, successive governments, have given a lot of incentives. But for all the money and all the talk, we haven't been able to get the returns on this investment that people anticipate.
Yeah, David, I think, you know, we have been sold a lot of the stuff that we consume by people who are very smart at marketing outside of Barbados. And it is really up to us within Barbados to determine what direction we need to go in, because this is a clear example of where the opportunities are. We can't provide all the food that we consume, and we do have a tourism industry that does use a lot of import. So I don't think we'll be able to feed ourselves completely, because let me put it in perspective. If you were to take every tree and house off the face of Barbados, which is 100,000 acres roughly, and planted it all in grass and raised beef on it, you could not supply enough beef for the current consumption that we have. And that's just beef. So, you know, our population is quite dense, and we do have the additional numbers that come with the tourism. So I don't think it's completely feasible for us to produce everything that we consume, but we certainly could do a lot better. And, you know, part of that is to do with the water, like what Raul was referring to. Now, if we're pumping 30 million gallons a day, of which 60% is leakage, every inch of rain that falls in this country, and where I am in St. George, we would average in a normal year 54 to 60 inches a year. But every inch that falls on an acre is equivalent to 25,000 gallons. Barbados is 106,000 acres. So every inch of rain that falls on this country is equivalent to close to 2.5 billion gallons of water. In the same way that a lake has been created in farmers to capture water, we could do that in other places.
But we are not doing enough also with the recycling of water across the board.
No, we're not. There's a lot more that we can do and we need to do, but it's an opportunity to create additional employment and to understand what our resource management needs to be, because there are lots of resources in this country that go to the dump or don't get used properly or people don't know about. I mean, Barbados used to be two islands, and the St. George Valley was the division between the two. Right now, I would say roughly in the vicinity of Hampton, coming down to Valley Plantation, St. George, in some places, there is between 40 and 60 foot of water under the ground. But as Raul said, there's no point pumping all that out and then having 60% go into leakage. So I think what the government and you know, Minister Abrams is always in a very difficult position in trying to keep the water supply up. And on the other hand, trying to repair the pipe is a major challenge. But that is certainly an area, the water and the agriculture, is a huge opportunity for us. If in this environment, the government, the Ministry of Agriculture was to say, well, we're going to have field days twice a week. We can handle 20 or 30 people at a time. You call in or email in, register your name. You come in with a face mask on and gloves and so on. And they put up a simple home system, which is like a tiered thing with a 4-inch or 6-inch waste pipe, with a simple hydroponic system that people can grow lettuce or other small foods and so on. Those are things that empower us to feed ourselves. But that is the way we have to think. But you have to give it the support that it needs.
Well, what is
Richard,
that support?
We'll probably have a different opinion.
Richard?
Yeah, David. The fact of the matter is we obviously, as Paul said, we cannot totally produce everything that we need to feed ourselves. But we can do a hell of a lot better than we are doing now. One of the things that has to be taken into consideration, however, is that Barbadians have to, and I actually got a couple of calls during the break asking me to make reference to this. Apparently, on one of your programs last week, someone was complaining about farmers' price gouging.
Yes.
Well, I don't know how anybody could think that farmers are price gouging anymore. When I went out to work in the early 80s, I worked on a plantation in St. George, who was the biggest producer of sweet potatoes in the island at the time. And we were selling potatoes during these kind of drought conditions at the same exact price that I am selling them at now, nearly 40 years later. The cost of production of that potato has gone up probably by 30 from all kind of things that we never used to do in the past with security for the stealing. And we have to realize that if the farming community does not get help, it cannot produce food to compete with what's being imported. Paul and I were in Honduras a couple months ago. An agricultural laborer in Central America works for $5 a day. Can you imagine that? That's the kind of thing we are competing with. Most of the products that come out of the United States are coming from farms that are highly subsidized. The only subsidized agriculture in Barbados is the production of sugar and molasses that goes to make rum. Now, does that make any sense whatsoever?
Well,
there's so much more that we can do here, but we are concentrating on one aspect of agriculture and talking about the rest.
What's
that? We have been talking about the rest forever.
Stellis, can I come back in here?
Yeah, yes, Connor.
Yeah, I heard the two gentlemen, but you know, we in a crisis time, we can't look to be supplied with all of the other products that we would normally consume if it was in a crisis time. So we have to ask ourselves if we can still provide the basic things for our country to function in a crisis time. But let me get on to the, my other...
Before you go on to that, though, while there was the talk about the prices and the price gouging, the Government Information Service last week put out a statement saying that the Department of Commerce and Consumer Affairs on receiving a report regarding the unusual pricing of half of a melon sold at $8.22 per kilogram by Chanel Supermarket investigated the matter. A cordial discussion between the general manager of Chanel Supermarket and the relevant department revealed that the melon under investigation was incorrectly priced, as retail price for whole or cut melon should have been $5.50 per kilogram. I think
David, this is exactly where one of the things that I want to ask the public to ask questions about. Don't just look at the farm gate price, and don't just blame the farmer. There is a lot that happens from the farm gate to you, the consumer, purchasing the product. Those are some of the questions, and those are some of the trace what goes on between here. Everything seems to always be blamed on the farmer, the person with the risk, the person that deals with all the elements that has to be, you know, it's always incredible. I would
Mr.
like
Ellis,
the public
yes.
to ask what
I hate
goes
to hear,
on
I hate
between
to hear,
the farmer.
Just hold on. You just let him complete, and then we come back.
Okay.
Between farm gate and the consumer, there are some questions that need asking there.
Okay. So what's your comment, caller?
Yes, I hate to hear producers and manufacturers say that they make a blanket statement that there's no price gouging. And because we as consumers, as we shop in these various supermarkets, we definitely can see a hike in price. For example, my wife, she went out shopping to one particular supermarket, and you normally get 12 eggs in a crate, but you get 10 now for the same price. Now, people use a lot of strategy. If you give less for the same price or more, what should I call that? But that's another thing for another time. Let me say here, though, that...
Yes, but caller, I understand that prices have gone up. What I'm asking the consumer to do is not just blanket the blame on... Throw the blanket of blame
on the farmers. Yes, I understand that. But I just don't people say that. There's no price gouging out there. They hate to hear it. Mr. Ellis, in terms of a statement that Mr. Davis made earlier in terms of opening up the country, I don't agree with that to some extent, because as soon as you do that, everybody going to want to open because they can see it as a disadvantage for some. But one thing that I pray that don't happen is that our first problem become our last. And you know what was our first problem? We keep our borders open up, and our first COVID case was persons coming into the country and then it being transmitted like that. Now, I don't want a case, because we're looking at the economic factor, that as soon as this thing die down a little, we decide to open up and let tourists come back in, and then we are in a, we are back into the first situation that we will find ourselves in. Because you made
what
a
solution.
You played a clip earlier. You cut it short. Whereas the individual was saying that this coronavirus is here to stay. Could you imagine that? Although I don't agree with the statement,
what puts you in a position to disagree with it?
Let's face it. If you have, imagine that this coronavirus here to stay. In each time, then it would mean that we would be still in the same problem that we are in. We cannot open up our borders then, unless he's saying. I mean, he started talking about a vaccine as though the vaccine is the way to go, and before that vaccine, it is here to stay. If he's making that point, I didn't hear the full
I'm going to try to play the full piece. That
we were hearing it, so I don't know why.
Yeah, I got a signal to suggest that it wasn't being heard. So I think it wasn't being heard in that particular corner. So I'm gonna play it for you.
What is your
proposal to solve the problem for the next 18 months?
The next 18 months?
Yeah, what do we do with the economy for the next 18 months? Because if you have an economy that has...
People are going to die
because they can't get money, and all of our debts and so on will continue to grow. What is the solution for the next 18 months? Because, as he said, this coronavirus is related to the SARS virus, is related to the Spanish flu virus. It's just evolved in a different way. Uh-huh. So we are going to have it for a long time. So what is the solution for the next 18 months? Nobody's come and told me that yet.
Well, I guess people ain't saying because they don't know what the future holds. But I see the point that you're saying. You're looking at the economic situation. You're looking at the economic situation. I believe that the government too is concerned about the economic situation of the country. But at the same time, you don't want to be too hasty and then create more problems for your citizens. Whereas,
you haven't given a solution. You can't. I've given you a reason why you think the curfew should be lifted.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people are not at school, the children are not at school. 60% of the working population are at home because they're involved in tourism. That is taking a tremendous amount of people out of circulation.
Okay, can I ask you a question?
So what is your solution?
Can I ask you a question so that see if we can get somewhere with this? If you're talking about opening up certain sectors, what are the sectors that you're looking at to open?
I open any sector. But you have to have things in place. In the same way that you see when people calling from Beijing, calling from New York, and say that they're chastising us for what we're doing and so on, they still can go to the supermarket, the post office, and the bank when they want. But we can, and we're not in that situation. Those statistics that came out on the news just now, which quoted Jamaica as 175 cases, there's 3 million population. We're 75 from 300,000. We are four times the amount of people infected on a percentage basis. But it's, in my opinion, it's a manageable situation. You cannot
Honestly, you're asking a very valid question. And I too, it crossed my mind because this is how I was looking at it. I was saying, look, Beijing didn't behave themselves how they should in the initial stages. They continue to gather and push and rush and all this kind of thing.
But they're not doing that now.
Right, they are not doing it now. And yet still, don't you know that it is reported that we have not come across a community trace incident as yet?
Right, so you
and
have
that is
to have
good.
A solution.
So I can see...
It's all very well and good to criticize any options that anybody puts forward. But I think when you get to the point where you're going to say that can't work, you have to say what else the other option is. And we have to have an option.
All right. Okay, thank you very much. Let me play here for you, Special Envoy David Nabarro. I think that's his name. Is it David, Executive Director? He's a World Health Special Envoy on COVID-19. Yes, he is David Nabarro. And this is what he said about COVID.
So this virus, we think, is not going to go away, period. So that means that we have to have one of two things. Either we have to have a situation where there's a treatment so that everybody who has the disease can take that treatment and then not be ill and not be at risk of death, or there has to be some kind of vaccine that enables everybody to be immunized and to be defended against the virus, as has happened for other virus diseases. It's just we don't have a vaccine and we don't know how long it's going to take to develop one, and we don't yet have a treatment, and we again don't know how long it's going to take for that to come along. So we've all got to learn to live with this virus, to do our business with this virus in our presence, to have social relations with this virus in our presence, and not to be continuously having to be in lockdown because of the widespread infections that can occur.
So there you have it. That's David Nabarro, who is the World Health Organization Special Envoy on COVID-19. Any reaction to those comments as we work our way towards the 1230 edition of the latest, Paul Davis.
The only thing, David, I completely agree with what he's saying. Obviously, he's more informed than we are. But I think if our government was to say, look, we recognize that we need to reopen the economy, but we have to do it in a structured manner. We need to test X amount of people. And the state that we're in right now, we have identified a source for the testing kit. This is what's going to cost. This is when it's going to come in. This is when we're going to start doing the testing. And at that point, coming up with that information, we can then make an informed decision as to how to get back to business, because we don't have an option other than that right now. You cannot indefinitely keep the country shut down.
And did you get a sense that that was what government had in mind? I mean, we've had St. Kitts going the direction first of saying it was going to impose a state of emergency for a year, and then I think it retreated to 6 months or something like that. There has been no such indication from the government of Barbados, though, that we have an
indication. Yeah, I agree with that, and I think they've done a phenomenal job, because, you know, our information on the virus is so limited that you're limited in your options as to what to do. But I think, given the situation that we're in now, and we have virtually hardly anybody coming into the country, that now is the time. I don't think we should wait 2 weeks. If the government thinks that, well, we'll have to go along with that. But I don't think we should.
Okay, and Richard Armstrong?
I think we have to err on the side of caution for a little while longer. Until we get more testing done, I think everybody's shooting in the dark. And you don't want to have the situation where you start to feel at ease because we're into the fifth day now without any positive tests, and then suddenly there's a little group of tests that come in, and you've got 10 positives in one day, and you're chasing your tail again. A very slowly phased opening back up may be on the cards, but until we are doing a lot more testing, I would like to err on the side of caution.
All right. Well, thank you both for joining us for the early segment of Down to Brass Tacks. A pleasure having you two farmers share your experience and your knowledge with us and give us some of your own ideas as to how you think we can deal with this situation. That's Paul Davis, a dairy farmer here in Barbados, and root crop farmer in Richard Armstrong. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Okay, so this is the situation. You don't have lines today, but some of the supermarkets have no vegetables, they have no fruit. And the reports that I'm getting is that some of them have some pretty bare-looking shelves. So what's going on there? What were the difficulties that they faced? That would have been Friday and yesterday. So it's a question of restocking, is it? Because we are told that we have enough food, so it must be a restocking issue. Somebody needs to clarify what the situation is there. Hello. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the program.
Good afternoon, David.
Yes, good afternoon.
Okay, I'm a first-time caller.
A pleasure to have you.
And first, I want to wish our Prime Minister continued improvement in health. I also want to say a big thank you to all of the frontline workers and all of those persons who are at this moment managing.
We can hear
the effects of this pandemic. My plea is, please do not reopen the country to extra businesses at this point, because we would constantly be exposing all of our frontline workers who have to use public transport to the virus. Now, internationally, I've seen that there are quite a few frontline workers who have been affected by this virus. It is all right for business persons to say open the country, because their bottom line is to make profits. They can protect themselves adequately. However, workers who are not given the type of wear to minimize the risk, they are extremely vulnerable. Testing at this point is going to be key to everything that we do. But then we do not have enough test kits. So what are we going to do? Because there then is that possibility of getting these kits that it will be diminished severely. Now, I have a few suggestions which I'd like to make. I would say business persons who are allowed to remain open should paint lines 6 feet apart to indicate where persons should stand while waiting to enter the establishment. Number two would be to have more cashiers, merchandisers, packers, and security guards from among displaced persons with similar careers. The guards can enforce the rules using, as one caller suggested, a loudspeaker. And all persons must wear a mask or they will not be allowed to enter the business. Sir, I don't know if this suggestion would help as well. I have been able to go through the directory and note that, you know, we have a majority of our surnames, persons with surname A, B, C, D, and E. They are in the majority. Now, if you could work with me for a little moment, where we are going to put them in bands of five, where you have A, B, C, D, and E. You make that is not a band. You're then going to put on the A, you go again according to the alphabet, F, G, H, I, J. You go again to a third K, L, M, N, O. Remember, we're still using the alphabet. P, Q, R, S, T, and right down to Z, where you will find that A, F, K, P, and U will come on the one band. So that makes it, you know, for those persons in that band, those surnames, if you look at them, like some of them don't have a lot of persons with that surname. Under the B band, you're going to have B, G, L, Q, and V. Under the C, you have H, M, R, and W. And under D, you have I, N, S, and X. Under E, you have J, O, T, Y, and Z. Now, I would go a little further and say, if it's at all possible for all seniors and differently abled persons to go to the supermarket according to those bands, Monday to Friday, between the hours of 7 and 10. Now, all of the others would fall into those same categories. Where well, you'll find that.
You need to send that kind of proposal to the government. And
well, I've been trying, but it's
because it's a bit detailed. You know, it's a bit detailed.
Because I'm saying, if you can use that kind of bands where you'll find that, you know, you have less bunching. Although I do find that on the first day of shopping for any band, you get that heavy bunching.
It's a surge.
Right. And persons who go early, and I don't think there's that need to rush to the supermarket. All you have to do is, even if you go there and you realize the lines are long, just go and do something else because your band is allowed out at a certain point in time. I've also gone through and I've done a full thing there. So I'm saying if this is any help, I would be willing to discuss it with anyone to see how we can make it easier for old persons. Because I know for a fact, because the band which carries C on Saturday, my children there were able to go into two supermarkets within close proximity, of course, because they could go from one, collect what they wanted, and then go to the second one and collect, and they were back home within 2 hours. So I'm saying if we have to look at it, we have to think carefully that it is absolutely necessary for persons to pay attention to what is happening. And when they go and they notice that the line is long, then because they're allowed out at that particular time, if you cannot get into the supermarket, you can most likely go to the post office.
Well, you know what? I perhaps should ask the authorities if they would perhaps look at creating some special mechanism by which people could email in their suggestions or what have you, you know, because you get a lot of suggestions as to what they think people think could work. And at the end of the day, they need to be channeled into the right quarters, you know?
That is correct.
So that is what I
would recommend. Was so happy to get through to you today, because I do not think, sir, I'm sorry to have crossed you, but I do not think that we should change the regulations to accommodate individual preferences, whims, and fancies.
Yes.
We have to restrain ourselves at this point in time. We have to alter our personal taste buds for alcoholic beverages and other luxuries. We have to learn to adhere to the rules. Because, sir, it is important for us to stay safe. I've had too many friends that I have lost in New York in particular.
About how many?
As a result of this pandemic.
About how many?
Well, I would say at least 10 of the persons who passed on. There are 20 of them. I know 10 of them.
Wow.
And my experience was with one young man who, he was here in Barbados up to the ending of February. He was working diligently in one of our projects. He returned to the United States, in New York in particular, and he contracted the virus. Sir, it was not easy. Thank God we've been praying. He survived this thing. But when you hear his experiences, sir, you would not want to wish this on anyone at all. Because what actually happened is that he could not be admitted to the hospital to get the kind of treatment that he needed. And he had an, I would say 2 years ago, he had a bout with pneumonia. And when he went to the hospital, they sent him back each time. He could not enter that hospital, even though one of his relatives worked there. Eventually, when it got so bad, they did admit him, they tested him, the test came back. Yes, he was positive, but he could not get the accommodation at any hospital in New York. His wife, thankfully, because of her training, was able to work with him. And now he's at approximately day 22, and thank God he is still alive.
Okay.
It would have been, but then there were some others, because they would not practice that social distancing. They thought it was more important to play certain games, to go out there. And sir, that group, a number of them contracted the virus.
Is it domino players?
I didn't want to go so, but yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, sir, until we listen and learn from other experiences, we could do what is not in the best interest of our country. We have to stay thankful. We have to stay at this point in time grateful that we have been spared so far.
Yes.
Because if we reopen our country too fast, we can reopen this whole thing, because then persons are going to try to get in, even if they have to come by boat, in order to avail themselves of the excellent service that we are offering here at the moment.
All right, ma'am. Thank you very much for your contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks. It's now 4 minutes before 1 o'clock. Hello? You're on the air. Yes, hello.
Good afternoon. Actually, this is the first time that I'm calling in a number of years, because I was listening to this program for years, and the first time I've ever called in. And my reason for calling, because that I listened to the lady just now, and the gentleman, in fact, and I would want to disagree strongly with this lady, for the mere fact that we live in a world where good seems bad and bad seems good. And because of that, we're going to got some ugly things happening. But we've got to live in this world still. Now, I believe that the Prime Minister has tried her best in whatever way possible to make it safe for us. And I believe that the time that she has given, the third, I believe is adequate time. But after the third, I believe the borders should be opened up and things should be back, not to normalcy as such, but to be in a normal way where people can be back to work. People getting on the program and they're talking. And I want to say that I believe strongly that these people are talking are well off. And that's why they're not worrying about the rest of people that are suffering in this country. We have too much poor people suffering in this country. People living from paycheck to paycheck and cannot get a dollar to buy nothing. People ain't be able to get a supermarket to buy anything. But those that can get there are going to say to put this in A and B and all this type of thing. Look, we got to bite the bullet. At the end of the day, a decision has to be made. And whatever decision we made, we got to learn to live with it, because we don't live in a perfect world. And because of that, some things would happen. That is why I agree with the gentleman that the border should be opened back up after the third, and I believe they should open back up immediately.
You said the border, because, or you want the whole curfew?
When I said I don't want the whole country, the whole border, the border should be open up.
Is the curfew
the
with the border? The border isn't really closed?
Yeah, but it's closed to passengers coming in, that type of thing.
No, but I understand it. People are being quarantined when they come in. But the problem has been that the carriers are not coming in the numbers that they were before. So it is effectively closed because of that, but not because the government has closed it.
No, but when they say the border, they mean from other countries and everything. All those borders have been closed. People can't get out to come in.
From other countries.
Right. Nobody's going to come in. So therefore, I believe that should be an option. Whereby that people are back to work. A lot of entities in Barbados need to be opened up. People get back to work. It's not a much of making money, you know. That's one side to look at it, but you got to look at it in all different aspects. People need to pay the bill. They need food on the table. You understand? And people thought, once children are home, they're going to eat. People, I heard a lady last week talking about, you got to learn to curb this. And you can't tell a child curb anything. When a child says, mommy, hungry, because children like to ramble, and they eat enough. I'm a parent, I home, and because I am home, I get find myself eating things that I shouldn't eat. But if you're out to work, your mind is someplace else. But so long something there, you're going to eat S&D, and you see it, you're going to be hungry. Next point is that I believe strongly that, yes, we have to protect our workers. No, maybe about that. Protect them, yes. But in the same vein, look, some people is going to die, and some is going to live. We live in a world that is going to take. I'm not saying that, hey, I want people to die. But hey, look, people will die. We live in a world where people will die, and some will live. We had over 400,000 deaths so far, and we have over 30 million babies born in. All these things you're going to look at. We must look at the ratio and see. Not that we want people to die, but people will die because we live in a sinful world. People will die. So from that perspective, if you know that you have a relationship with your God, and perchance, perhaps, it happened, well, you should be in such a state that when Christ come, that, hey, look, you know that your salvation will be guaranteed. But people looking at this thing differently. You understand? Everybody want to live, but listen, and they don't have that love for the brother or the sister as they're talking. That's the point that I don't understand. Because if I pass by my neighbor, so, well, I'm hungry, want something, then may give me today, but then give me tomorrow. I come in too often.
You know, we spent a lot of time talking about how it will change business.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think it will change people?
Well, I believe strongly with this situation going on, I believe some people will change. As I say, we live in a world where, and some will not change. Look, I'm a farmer. And I'll tell you this, stealing has increased tremendously. And it will happen because they've got a lot of number of people aren't working. And some people is going to look to survive one way or the next. I don't accept stealing. But hey, when somebody steals something for you and they have to supply for the family, what do you want some person next to do? You see, this is the thing that we're confronted with, and that's why we say we live in a world where, and because of this here, some people can be impacted negatively and some will be impacted positively. I would hope going forward that whatever decision that is being made by CAMIC, that we will learn to accept it, and the permission must be firm. Must be firm, because every time we chop and change and we got to make changes every time, we are not doing anything. We are not progressing. Because if I put something, listen, we got to live with this. It's hard, but we got to live with it. You understand? Because, hey, the Prime Minister is not going to pick up A, B, and C and say, I affecting this person. No, it's a holistic thing. Somebody would be affected in this year. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. Look, my shopping day is Fridays and Tuesdays. And the thing about it is that there's so much people out there, so it's a prayer. I have not bought nothing in the supermarket even before this thing were locked. Nobody got mine. I ain't get there yet. My wife ain't get there yet. I whatever little bit we have, we make and do. Because it's a serious thing going out there. Hey, and one thing that I am amazed about is that we talk about this 6 feet distance apart. This, I mean, in my opinion, and this is my personal opinion, I don't feel that making a difference. Listen, I see people that jumble at the supermarket, and this is happening, and you have not heard one community spread disease yet. And people jumble at supermarkets and all up in one another, that I see even police were involved. And you're going to tell me that if that is the case, that we ain't for all that time that nothing happened? something wrong. This thing seems not to be what we expect or what we are thinking about. This is something differently. This seems to be something that is being planted. And you see this thing that people call for vaccine? There's a way to control everything. That's in my opinion. I don't agree with it, and no vaccine could come that nobody can tell me is Martha going to take it. I am not taking it.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much for your contribution.